So we have a cell phone in Gabara. I forgot to take my phone. I have to call somebody.
Local. What's actually about the turn off? What's actually about the turn off?
Okay.
It's just a local call.
It's also free to America, but I don't think there's anyone to call at this point.
Okay, thank you. There was
yeah.
Wow, that was during that time.
It was between 6:20 and 7:20, so
about that. Wow. They know who it was? They caught somebody? Or
I don't know if they looked at the tapes yet.
The lights they left open.
The worst part is for some of the guys, they turned the lights off.
Yeah.
Isha says he came into his room, so he's like, he saw him. As far as he knows, it was not somebody in the yeshiva.
Wow. And I hope the losses were not great, I guess. I don't know. So someone asked me, Shaila, if I left the lights on, are you allowed to learn by the lights? So it really depends. If the ganav is a yid, so it's a Maisa Shabbos, so you're not allowed to be nen until Motzei Shabbos. If it's a guy, the guy did it for himself, so you're allowed to be nen. So the question is, in Eretz Yisrael, most people are Jews. The question is, can you assume that most ganavim are Arabs? I don't know if that's
a Safek Drabanan anyway, no?
It would be a Safek Drabanan, Mimela. So Safek, you could say Maisa Shabbos, you could be making. Yeah.
Turning on the light? I mean, turning off is certainly, turning on the light, isn't that...
No, I'm not talking about turning, I'm talking about being nana from the light that he left on. Right? Because the Ganav did it for himself. I had, 10 years ago, I had such a rabbi. They used to kind of enter your house, and they used to put something that knocked you out.
Really?
It was really very scary. I mean, you think the guy could have killed you. I mean, my mom had a, this was in 1999.
Wow.
We had a whole big robbery. We didn't even know until we woke up in the morning. A lot of stuff was gone.
What do they put?
It's some type of thing that just keeps you asleep. It like knocks you out. I don't know what it is. I mean, you're asleep anyway. But
come to you and do it, or they just put
it
in the house?
No, they go up to your nose.
Up to your nose.
Then they put something under your nose, like chloroform or something.
Wow.
It was mamish. I mean, they could have, they could have killed you. But that's what they told me happened afterwards. Okay, so we'll begin with a smaller item today. Last week we were looking at what Hasidim call Lev HaTanya, the heart of the Tanya, which is Perek Lamed Beis. And this was a bit of a digression on the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael. So it's interesting that the Alter Rebbe takes a certain category and moves it exactly the opposite way that Chazal usually use it. You often find, for example, in the Gemara a phrase that the Ahavti L'Reyecha Kamocha is only if it's L'Reyecha B'Mitzvos, someone who does mitzvos with you. meaning achicha b'mitzvahs is the positive one. That's when you show love, that's when you show care. Here, the Alter Rebbe has a chiddush. It's not a stira, but it's an interesting twist, in which the Alter Rebbe says that the hetcher, or the chiyuv, to hate Rishayim, is only achicha b'mitzvahs, meaning to say, if you have a person who was from, who learned, who knew halacha, and then he got teichacha from a person who properly could give him teichacha because there's a good relationship, and he refuses to be mekabel teichacha, so he then gets characterized as a rasha, and you are permitted and maybe even obligated to hate him. Masha Enkein, a guy who was totally rachak from Torah, a person who wasn't raised that way, a person that you have no shaychus to, a person that you cannot go up to and give teichacha, you can't consider him a rasha bichlal, because maybe if the right person would influence him, or if he would have had the right education, perhaps he would have been okay. So it's very, very fascinating. He uses the language of Chazal, which is usually meant to be a positive, and he uses that as a negative. In other words, he says, I'll read you the language here. He says, "Umasha kasa bigmara shemi shiraya b'chaveiro shechata." The Gemara has a lashon that if you see somebody sinning, mitzvah l'sinaisa, it is a mitzvah to hate him. Hainu b'chaveiro b'toru v'mitzvahs. That's the lashon of chaveiro. He is your chaver in Torah and mitzvahs. Uchvar kiyem bo mitzvahs chayvas teichiyach es amisacha. Am sha'itcha b'toru v'mitzvahs. V'yafal pichein lo shav mechetai. K'ma shekasa b'sefer charedim. Avomish eino chaveiro. If he's not your chaver, v'eino mekore v'atzlein, he has no shaychas to you. Hine alzeh omar hila lazokein. Have mi talmid of Shalaron, right? Famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that Hillel said, one should be like the disciples of Aaron, Ohev Shalom, a lover of peace, a pursuer of peace, Ohev es habriyais, he loves creatures, you'll see the significance of this phrase, umakarvan l'Torah, and draws them near to Torah. Leimar, says the Alter Rebbe, Sha'af ha-rechaykim mitayres Hashem be'avaydasai u'lachein nikra'im b'shem b'riyas. B'riyas is almost like an animal phrase. They're b'riyas. They're rachayk from Torah. They're rachayk from mitzvahs. But you have to love them. And through that love, tzorech l'mashchan b'chavle avaysais ava. You must pull them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the ropes of love. Now this is very fascinating. The Chazon Ish used the exact lashon. I doubt the Chazon Ish got it from the Tanya, but the Chazon Ish says using the lashon that Bisman Hazah, where there is Hester Panim, and people are so rachuk from Torah based on environment and education, tzarech lemashchan b'chavle avaysay sava. This is mamish the lashon of the Bala Tanya. V'kula hai v'yulai, and maybe, just maybe. Not a guarantee. Makarvan l'tayra doesn't mean for sure you'll do it, but ula yochol makarvan l'tayra v'avaydas Hashem v'heng lo. And if you're not matzliach, lo yhifsit tzchar mitzvahs avas reyim. You still have the mitzvah of loving your fellow Jew. So that's the first mahalach, which is essentially, I mean, the Alter Rebbe does not use the lashon of tinok shenishba. He does not invoke that particular concept, which I think is good in a way, because once you get into Tinok Shenishba, you get into like Rav Yashu, you get into kind of discussion. Well, Tinok Shenishba, that means somebody who never heard about a Jew being Shomer Shabbos, somebody who was raised in Africa, and Rav Yashu said, there's no Tinok Shenishba today. Every person in Israel knows about Charedim, if for no other reason than they blocked his car, you know, they threw stones at him, so he certainly knows about. So what's Tinok Shenishba? The Alter Rebbe doesn't predicate it on a technical definition of Tinok Shenishba. Rather, what we're looking at is simply, you don't have a relationship with somebody, so how do I go over to somebody and say, hey, you're not allowed to drive on Shabbos? There has to be someone that he's makoriv to. Now, if you're makarif and he's not makabel teichacha, then that's a separate thing. Now, he then says a separate svara. And Eve is, so svara number one is, people did not get the proper tochacha, they didn't get the proper hadracha. therefore they cannot be condemned as Rishayim. He then says, and even if you have a bona fide Rasha, a person who knew Halacha, and a person who was raised properly, and a person rebels and is not Mekabel Teichecha, so L'chaira, on that the Gemara says, Mitzvah L'snaisai, says the Alter Rebbe, there is such a thing called a simultaneous love and hate. You hate what they're doing. You hate the fact that they're allowing their animal soul to be miskaber, but you must love them for the panemius of the nefesh elokus, the pintaliyid that is still within them, because that is the chelek elokam mimal, and within even the rasha, there is a chelek that is kadosh and that is holy, that is good, that is really mekusher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for that you can have simultaneous love and hate. And then the third point he makes is that because the godly soul is in golus, it's like captured, it's like hijacked by the animal passion, you have to have rachamim for the godly soul that is bebechinas golus. It is like in exile. And then the Baal HaTanya says an interesting psychological thought. When there is rachamim, rachamim replaces hate and it causes love. And again, this is a thought actually the Talmud Devarah talks about Biarichas. In fact, the whole Perek Rishon of the Talmud Devarah is essentially this idea that you look at people who are far from Torah, far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what you should feel towards that is not hatred. What you can hate the bad that they're doing, but what you feel for them is pain and mimela rachamim, both for them and for HaKadosh Baruch. Let's say, imagine, what would you tell a person? Imagine if a human being had 10 children, and 8 of them went off the derech, 8 of them became Mechalel Shabbos, let's say 8 of them became criminals, 8 of them became terrorists, 8 of them became murderers. But there are 2 children who are good. So isn't it, do you comfort the parent by saying, well, listen, okay, 8 of the children are gone, but listen, you have two good children. Now, Baruch Hashem, a person should have, you know, nachas in the 2 children. But that doesn't take away the pain of the 8 that are gone. And we have to understand, if you have Yidden, in which 80% of the Jews in the world, I don't know the exact percentages, are not doing Hashem's will, they've gone off the derech. Can you imagine the tsar, the pain that HaKadosh Baruch has? The issue is not Hashem is angry. The issue is Hashem is in pain. Hashem is in tsar. And Mimele, you have to be ma'orer rachamim in your heart, both for the Russia that is so meruchik from Hashem, in spite of the fact that there's a godly soul that is now in gullus and captivity. And ultimately, to have rachamim for the Shekhinah. Remember Chazal say, even by the person who's chayef skila, I think I mentioned it last week, the person is hung up. So the pasuk says you have to take him down right away, at least before sunset. Ki kilalas elikim taloi. A man that is hung up because of his sin is a curse to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chazal have a slightly different translation of kilalas. Kalani reishi, as if Hashem says, my head is hurting. I have a headache. I mean, you know, whatever. It's a physical description. My head is heavy upon me when I see the Russia that is so rachik from HaKadosh Baruch. So you have to understand, when Rishayim do ra in the world, it is not only a tragedy mitzad the people who suffer from the rishas. There's a tragedy mitzad the Russia himself. The life of a Russia is a tragedy. Now maybe it's a self-imposed tragedy. Yeah, that. But maybe that makes it more of a tragedy. So Mimela, the Alter Rebbe says, when you're ma'orer rachamim in your heart, that creates love. And again, he quotes a pasuk. This is actually a famous drish that he gave. There's a pasuk in Yeshayo that says, Yaakov asher podai es Abraham. Strange pasuk, that so says Hashem to Beis Yaakov, the house of Yaakov, redeemed Abraham. Now, the simple meaning, let's say the simple meaning, if you simply, well, what does it mean? Koyam Hashem le Beis Yaakov, Asher Pades Avraham. So Beis Yaakov, if you simply take it as a description of the Jewish people, although why not Bnei Yisrael, you'll see in a moment, it simply means that Avram gets an Aliyas Neshama every time Bnei Yisrael do mitzvos, meaning because Avram was the Makor, was the Sheirish of Emunah in Hashem, Avram gets Aliyah every time Bnei Yisrael do mitzvos. Was that, huh, say again?
And the other way around as well?
The other way around as well. Not necessarily. Because the difference is, when we do Averis, Avram is not responsible for our Averis, because Avram's Hadracha was the other way. Meaning to say, this is a famous fort actually from the Vilna Gaon. It's interesting, this is one of those words, like I'll tell you the words, a famous fort. I heard it many, many years ago, and I think I even saw it in the name of the Vilna Gaon. Rav Nutta always says it in the name of the Chassam Sofer. And the truth of the matter is, you can actually find around 20 famous machshavas in which it's either Chassam Sofer or the Vilna Gaon. In fact, in one of these Sfarim, which are Likutim of the Gra, Rav David Olayach, who's a person who studies the writings of the Gra, so he has a Likud of writings of the Gra, and then at the end, he has like 50 pages of Mamorim, which are Mesupik, or Min HaGra, or somebody else. Sometimes it's Rabbi Kiv Eger, sometimes it's the Chassam Sofer, sometimes it's a very unknown person who wanted to, which is what you call reverse plagiarism, which is done. Plagiarism is when I take somebody's Torah and say it as my own. But there is a phenomenon called reverse plagiarism, in which I want my Torah to be read, but if I just publish it under my name, nobody's going to read it. So I write something b'shem the Gra. At least I know people are going to pay attention. In fact, Shlomo Zalman. Say again?
Huh? So in many ways, that's worse.
In many ways, it's worse. Shlomo Zalman used to say, somebody once said a chiddush in his own name, and it was Shlomo Zalman's chiddush, and everybody knew it. So somebody went to Shlomo Zalman and said, this guy is like saying your chidushim in his name. So Shlomo Zalman said, better that he say my chidushim in his name than he says his chidushim in my name. He says, I'm happy to have it that particular way. They say with the Briska Rav, you know, the Briska Rav was very charif. The Briska Rav, people were, it would be a little scary to tell him over a piece of Torah, because he was very, very medayek in learning, and if it wasn't exactly Eiskehalten, you'd be in big trouble. So people didn't like, so once a guy was telling him over a shir, a maracha, and the Briska Rav was listening, like fascinated, and mamish, beautiful, beautiful, gavaldik, gavaldik. So one of the Talmidim went to the Briska Rav afterwards and says, Rebbe, the Rebbe must know this, he was just telling you over Rav Chaim, he was telling you a word from your father in his own name, a whole maracha from Rav Chaim. The Briska Rav says, I know, but I get such a geschmack hearing my father's Torah. I let him say it. So that's where the guy got away with it. But usually it's a bit of a dangerous thing. So this word is this. It says in Zechariah, V'nasati l'cha mahalchim bein ha'im dema'ela. Zechariah, remember, who's Zechariah? Just to put him in the history. This is after the 70 years of Golus, right when they're about to build the second Beis HaMikdash. Remember, the last three Nevi'im, because Nevuah left us at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. The last three Nevi'im are Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. And in particular, Chagai actually talks about building the Bayis Sheni. You look in Chagai, that's when they're building the Bayis Sheni. And Zechariah has many, many Nevuahs about Mashiach and Geula. Again, this was a very strange period. This is right after Megillas Esther. Remember, Megillas Esther, the story of Purim, is occurring towards the end of the 70 years of exile. In fact, who was the Persian king who actually authorized the final building of the Beis HaMikdash? It was Daryavesh Hasheni, who, according to Chazal, was the son that Esther had with Ahasuerus, quite amazingly. So he was a Jewish king. It's an interesting irony, just like they like to talk about a Jewish pope, those Jewish popes, etc. Of course, the first pope was certainly Jewish. The first pope was Peter. Vada, he was Jewish. So too, it's an interesting irony that the Persian king who authorized the Binyan HaBayis was halakhically a Jew. Was he a frum Jew? We don't know, Pashut. I mean, in a way, it's kind of a tragedy that she has a son from Ahasuerus, and yet he was the one that authorized the Binyan Abayis. So shortly afterwards is Chagai Zechariah Malachi. Shortly afterwards. So Zechariah says, Hashem will give you a pathway among the pillars. So what's the lashon of the pathway? Mahalchim Bein Ha'Eindim. So they say B'Shem the Gra, and some say B'Shem the Chassam Sefer, that a human being is called a Mahalech, a traveler. Because in the world of Bechira, we can go from Madrega to Madrega to Madrega. We're not stationary. We can grow. A Malach is much higher than us. A Malach is holier than us. A Malach is Masik Hashem at a much higher level. But a Malach is stationary. A Malach is an Omed. Whatever a Malach is what a Malach is. It's not Shayach for there to be changes in Madrega. I think in Chabad they give a mashal, they compare it to a chessboard, in which the pawn is the lowest of all pieces, but the pawn is able to be nisala. The pawn, if you know chess, can become what, a queen?
Yeah.
When it hits the end of the board. Again?
Technically, I think they can choose to be anything, but no one...
All right. Oh, really? Is that true? They can choose anything. I wasn't aware of that. I mean, never happened, probably, but that you would choose a lower level. But that's an interesting point.
Depends on this choose a knight if...
Choose a knight.
Choose a knight. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, be interesting. I'd like to see if that ever happened.
Was it to Zacharias one before the
Yes. That's a good point. A lot of people get mixed up because we read in Gittin, I know you're learning the Agadah in Gittin, about the killing, the murder of Zechariah, a Navi, and his blood was bubbling up. And Nebuzaradan, who was Nebuchadnezzar's general, killed thousands and thousands of people to get the blood appeased. And at some point, the Gemara says, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do you want me to kill everybody? And then the blood stopped. And then Nebuzaradan himself became a ger because he was really afraid of what Hashem was going to do to him. Now that is not... he said. and the Gemara says that his descendants became Talmidei Chachamim. He became a ger. Now that is not... That is not the Navi Zechariah, who has Sefer Zechariah. Right? That Zechariah was also a Navi.
Okay, bye.
Oh, thank you. Okay, no, it wasn't necessary. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, special. Okay. Can't be without a phone, right? Okay. So that Navi Zechariah, that Navi Zechariah was at the time of the Chorban Bayis Rishon. The Navi Zechariah of the Sefer is in the Bayis Sheni. Two different people separated by a few hundred years. The thing is this. So what does it mean, Mahalchim? So a human being is called a Mahalech. A Malach is called an Omeid. So the Navi is giving you a promise that even when you're among the Omdim, even when you're among the stationary, even when you're dead and your neshama is in the Olam HaEmes, you can still be a traveler by the mitzvahs and the maisim tovim that the people you influenced continue to do. So if you have children, or if you have talmidim, or if you have chaverim, people you influence. And there are ripple effects that because of you, this guy is keeping Shabbos, this guy is learning, and because of you, he raises his children a certain way. And again, it's hard to know that you're the only cause, but there may be multiple causes. Hashem figures everything out. Then you continue to get elevated. Now, that could work the opposite way in the following way. That is, if because of your behavior, you created a chilul Hashem, you turned somebody off, then you are responsible for all of his averus and all of the children that could have become from, that didn't become from. So, to answer your tasha, Eli, if we do averus, that's not going to drag Avraham down because he's not the goyrim for that. But on the other hand, if we, through our behavior, cause somebody to do averus, that's why chilul Hashem is an awful thing. And that is why the Medrash Tanchuma actually says, Yom Kippur is called Yom in the Torah, it's a lashon rabim. Yom Kippurim. Plural. It really means the Day of Atonement. Lashon Rabim. We call it Yom Kippur. Why is it Lashon Rabim? So state in Medrash Tanchuma, because Yom Kippur is a kapara for the Chaim and a kapara for the Mason. In fact, that's the makor of Yisker. The initial makor of remembering the dead, which we do Shalosh Regalim and Yom Kippur, The original Makor in Halacha was Yom Kippur. It later got nispashet to the other Shalosh Regalim. Now, why do Mason need Kapara? I mean, they get judged when they die, but we say every Yom Kippur they're judged again, every Yahrzeit they're judged again. What's the idea? Because Hashem recalibrates all the ripple effects of a person's actions. You know, you Pashut don't know. So the Pashtus, going back to the Balatanya, the Pashtus of the Pasuk is that Bnei Yisrael, who do mitzvahs, elevate Avram. But the only question is, so why call them Beis Yaakov? Call them Bnei Avram or whatever it would be. So the Balatanya, Kedarkei B'Kodesh, always gives a symbolic meaning to names. And he says, Kabbalistically, he says, Avraham is the Midah of Chesed, which is love. Yaakov is the Midah of Rachamim, which is compassion. And when it says, Yaakov redeems Avraham, that means when love is locked up in the heart and not felt, the Rachamim of Yaakov opens up the love in Avraham. In other words, this just supports the idea that Rachamim gives rise to love. Again, it's an interesting cause and effect. We sometimes may look at it the opposite way. If I love somebody, so then when they are in distress, I feel Rachamim. The Alter Rebbe says it can start the other way as well. Yaakov is Paida Avraham, that when you're margish rachamim for somebody, you will come to love them. Now, the Talmud Devarei even says, this sounds like a modern shtick, but he even says this. He says, just like when you have in computer systems, when things aren't working, so you can turn it back to the last time that it was working. Right? Turn it back to an earlier point. So the Talmud Devarei suggests a very similar exercise. He says, you have a difficult person. You have a person who's angry, a person who's rude, a person who's mean, a person who doesn't have midas. He wasn't so much talking about non-frum, but he was talking about people that are makolko in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And you don't want to have anything to do with them. You know, they're just unpleasant people. So he says, turn back the clock to when they were children. Now, you don't know, obviously, but it's an imaginative exercise. I mean, were they born right? Probably not. Were they cute when they were 1 year old? You know? So kind of imagine them. And then ask yourself, what went wrong? How did they become angry and bitter and negative? And then the Talmud Devarei says, when you get into that mindset, you're not going to be angry. You're going to feel rachamim. And from that rachamim, you're going to feel love, because you're going to basically say, how did this beautiful little child become such a bum? And at that point, you're not angry anymore. You just feel rachamim. And that's what the Alter Rebbe is saying. Again, there's no question. I mean, the Alter Rebbe often, unlike Nefesh HaChaim, which, I shouldn't talk this way, the Nefesh HaChaim in many ways is over-footnoted. If you look at the Nefesh HaChaim, and there's a reason for it. I mean, Rav Chaim Volozhiner will throw, you know, he'll make a statement, he will throw out, you know, 15 references in the Kisvei Ari. You know, what do you need so many references for everything? There is a reason for this, because the Nefesh HaChaim was trying to show, the Hasidim were drawing on Kabbalah, and he was trying to show, al pi Kabbalah, this particular Derech is right, so therefore he really over-documents in the sense that he'll give you Marim Makaimis, Marim Makaimis. I mean, if you take out the Marim Makaimis from Nefesh HaChaim, you would reduce the Sefer by maybe one-third budget. Tremendous number of Marim Makaimis. The Balatanya, much, much less so. The Balatanya does not use a lot of Marim Makaimis, and he does not often tell you Makairis that he got things from. I mean, Chazalis will tell you. He does say, though, I mean, the fact that he called the Sefer Likute Amorim. He says it's an anthology of teachings, and indeed he says it's Mipi Sofrim Mipi Svarim. So he says, like the Rambam. The Rambam is the same way, right? The Rambam says, like the Rambam and whole Cheshman. It's so fascinating. Hagam that Chazal say, you're supposed to say Dover B'Shem Amro. The Rambam never says anything B'Shem Amro, and the Rambam even gives a reason why I'm not going to tell you something B'Shem Amro. He says, and that's because I want you to evaluate the truth of an idea based on the idea, not based on the person who said it. So maybe I'm going to quote a goy sometimes, like Aristotle, or maybe I'm going to quote the Chachamim. He says, I'm not going to tell you always, because I want you to evaluate the MS as the MS. So the Rambam himself gave such an excuse. I don't know if that was the Balei Tanya's judgment, but it's clear, Svarim have said, or not Svarim, I mean, it was Mekubal among Hasidim, that the two main Makairis of the Tanya were the Shalah HaKadosh and the Maharal. But they also point out that the Talmud Devarah and Bechlau, the whole Kabbalah of Rav Moshe Cordovero, although Tanya is mainly a Kabbalah of the Ari, but the Ramak's Kabbalah was also a very, very important idea. Do you have that? You have a Tanya with the Makairis. What Tanya do you have there? Right, that Tanya gives you Makairis for everything.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They show you the Makairis for like every line. It's based on something. So this is the Alter Rebbe's typical symbolic idea that Avraham represents Chesed, which is identified as love. Yaakov represents Tiferes, but Tiferes is also called Rachamim. And Rachamim is even without love. There's Rachamim, but Rachamim is Ma'orer love, and that is the idea Asher Poda. Yaakov is Paida, redeems Avraham, takes out the love from its imprisonment and allows the love to be felt. Yeah, Alan.
What would you propose is the psychological mechanism behind Rachamim translating to love?
In other words, why does it work that way? Why does Rachamim lead to love?
Yeah, how?
Because I think
we have pity for it, but that doesn't necessarily, shouldn't really logically translate to love. What's the mechanism?
Well, the mechanism seems to be that the reason you feel pity for somebody is that you recognize that they were victimized in one way or the other, that there were external factors in life that made them the way they were. Now, when you recognize that, your eye can then be open to what potentially they could have been, what they could have been. And then you can feel, it's really connected to the idea of seeing the godliness within them. Because once you can factor out the negativity by connecting it to the circumstances of their lives, then the godliness comes out. Yeah?
If that's the case, then I should do exactly the same exercise in reverse. So surely when somebody is an amazing person, all I should do is go, oh no, hold on 2 seconds, he has some seriously positive influences in his life. And however you'll be doing my example, I'll just play back to you.
I'm saying you could, but why would you want to?
Well, the question is...
No, I'm talking logically. Of course, emotionally...
That may be so. I mean, somebody once said to Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer was, again, I shouldn't even say it this way, but commonly people will tell you, Rav Aaron Cutler's father-in-law. But you have to know, Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer was a phenomenally great guy. Before Rav Aaron Cutler even was a great guy. And Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer was also Mitsuyan in extraordinary Midos Tovos. In fact, somebody once said, an Adam Gadol once said, that even if Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer would have been an Amo Aretz, he would have been the greatest Yid in Klal Yisrael. Even if he would have been an Amo Aretz, just because of the purity of his Midos and his character. So somebody once said to him, as a bit of a joke, he says, Rav Isser Zalman, I don't think you're going to get Olam Haba for all of your Midos Tovos, they're just so natural for you. And he started crying. He said, you know, you're right. He says, I don't deserve any credit for this. This is, now I'm not sure if he's telling the truth, but he said, this is just the way I am. He says that for me to get angry is just stupid. It makes no sense. It's not like I have to control anger or anything like that. So there is such a musik that if people are naturally good, maybe they don't get so much credit. But you can still love them because of the godliness that is there. In fact, the Vilna Gaon says a fascinating thing about man-woman relationships. The Vilna Gaon says, actually, not Dafka man-woman, it's about marriage, but it's also about even with friends. The Vilna Gaon says in Shir HaShirim that all love between human beings, that is true love, is divine love, is love of God. Because essentially, if you factor out lust or taiva, which could be a big inyan in man-woman relationships, when you love somebody, you love what? You love something about them. You love their chachma. You love their kindness. You love their gentleness. You love their modesty. You love their compassion, whatever it is. You're loving that part of Hashem that is within their neshamas that's coming out. So really, the neshama recognizes. The neshama is a chelak alokam mimal, and it's margish. Something else in another person that's a chelak alokam mimal. So the Vilna Gaon says, all love is really love of Hashem. You love Hashem. And that's why Shir HaShirim uses, the Gra says, the mashal of human love to write that Shir HaShirim is a... In fact, Shir HaShirim almost didn't make it. Shir HaShirim was, as they say, banned in Boston. The Chachamim didn't want to include Shir HaShirim in Tanakh because it's not, it doesn't fit the Haredi idea. I mean, the men and women are going together in the forest and whatever it would be. But Rabbi Akiva was Matzil Shir HaShirim from Geniza. Rabbi Akiva said, if Kol HaShirim Kadosh, Shir HaShirim is Kadosh Kadoshim, because Shir HaShirim is the mashal for the love that exists between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. And every single thing in Shir HaShirim is a mashal. Ad Kedei Kach, this is a famous old criticism of Art Scroll that's been going on for 40 years already, in which Art Scroll, when they translate Shir HaShirim, on top, in the bottom they actually give you a literal, but when they translate Shir HaShirim, so they only use the mashal, they only use the nimshal, they don't use the mashal. Mm-hmm. So if the pasuk says, ravish me with nishikais, ravish me with kisses, they'll say something like, when Hashem took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, there were a lot of miracles. So if you're reading Shir HaShirim in the English, you know, you're going to wonder, what's this big deal? You know, I mean, it's like just a history of. But the real thing is, it uses very powerful emotional language. Now, people still to this very day they still criticize Art Scroll. It's really unfair because. In the bottom, when they give the commentary, they give you the literal meaning to. Just in the text, they say they did it in a mashal. They tie in here, Yaakov Kamenetsky told them to do that. I don't know. Okay. Be this as it may, though, it's still an interesting question. Why didn't Shlomo HaMelech write Shir HaShirim the way Art Scroll translated it? Why did Shlomo HaMelech utilize such an imagery? So, it's interesting that the Art Scroll Shir HaShirim actually has a letter from Rev Gifter in Hebrew. Untranslated, which addresses that very issue. And Rav Gifter says, a gewaltig thing, Rav Gifter says, Shir HaShirim is a mashal using human love as a mashal for the intensity of divine love. Ein achinami. But Shlomo HaMelech is teaching us, you cannot understand the nimshal unless you understand the mashal, meaning if you're not capable of deep human relations, you can't come to love Hashem. A person can't just say, I love Hashem, I don't care about people that much. It's not shaykh. You need the mashal. Now they tell the story about Leo Tolstoy, famous author. Now Leo Tolstoy was also a member of the Russian aristocracy. Leo Tolstoy was Count Tolstoy. This is in Tsarist Russia. And he owned slaves. He owned serfs, they were called serfs, they were in Russian slavery. And he was also a social reformer. He wrote pamphlets against slavery and against serfdom and against smoking even. He wrote different pamphlets. So somebody asked him, Count Tolstoy, you know, you write against serfdom, against slavery, and you have slaves, you don't even treat them that well. So Tolstoy remarked, and he knew what he was saying, he was a smart guy, he says, just because I'm a lover of humanity doesn't mean I have to care about people. Two different things. I'm committed to a cause. I'm a global cause. I believe in causes. I believe in humanity. But I don't have to care about the person I'm dealing with. Often it's that way. You know,
why would you care about humanity if you don't care about people?
He's being sarcastic. He's saying that sometimes people get excited about, I want to save the world. But they can't have Derech Eretz for the person who's right next to them.
Well, he's being sarcastic. The guy's got a point.
I'm sure he
subsequently freed his slaves.
Well, I don't know if he did or not. I can check. Tolstoy is not defending himself. I mean, the other way around. Tolstoy, I think, is acknowledging that the guy has a bit of a musher. I mean, for example, I mean, I'll give you, okay, I don't want to get into politics. I mean, liberals who want to, often they want to have massive, massive welfare systems. It's been found in the United States that conservative politicians give more personal charity than liberals. Liberals want to do causes, but it's not necessarily nogea to how they behave. And the same thing is true, okay, maybe we shouldn't talk about this, if we talk about various sexual offenses, right? Liberals are legomery in favor of rights of women, abortion, of freedom, and blah, 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 blah. But ruba deruba of the sexual improprieties come bedafka from the camp of people who are great, great defenders of women's rights. There's a certain disconnect in the human being. And again, it happens even among us, even among from Jews. Between the notion is, I'm so committed to Avas Yisrael as an idea, and lav dafka in how it translates into family, into the yochid, etc. It's easier to be committed to, because Rav Gifter's yisayit is that Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, you love Hashem by learning to love the human being. Now the Gra says a little differently. The Gra says that Shlomo HaMelech's teaching is that the yisayit of human love is Avas Hashem. Because you're makir in the other person those elements of divinity that are coming out. Now, there can be love that's makokal. There can be love, ava shetluya betover, etc. But the emistika ava, that is a true ava, is matza min es minai, in which my godly soul is margish something godly in the other person. I want to connect. Is dapkas rucha, rucha berucha. Yeah.
Is there necessarily a steer between what the Gra saying and what the Gifter saying? Meaning, I would think that if I take the pathway of the Gra, where I have built a relationship with another person,
yeah,
and I have identified the particular elements that one loves about that person, and can identify that the thing that they're really loving is the pieces that are reflected in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that brings you to what Rav Gifter is talking about, which yeah. is the way to understand the love between Kali Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu, an
right.
individual and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is vis-a-vis other people.
Right, right. No, I didn't mean to say there was a steer. I just meant that they're making two different points, but you're correct. One point can properly lead to the other
exactly.
point. That is correct. Yeah.
What's the difference between what the girl is saying and what we've heard about what the Baal Shem Tov says, like, whatever, meaning the feeling for love?
No, that's very different. No, that's very different. In other words, what the Alter Rebbe warned you against.
I don't know if I remember hearing what
yeah, yeah, I mentioned a few weeks ago that the Baal HaTanya mentions a certain teaching that he says you should bedafka not do. And I had mentioned that this was a teaching that some early Hasidim were doing, and the Baal HaTanya said it is toxic and dangerous. Now, they say the teaching that the Baal HaTanya himself was mavato is the concept that when you have taivas, when you have a taiva, you should taka think that I'm giving this, you know, taiva to Hashem. In other words, let's say it's a taiva for Nashim. So he says you should keep the taiva, so to speak, and then say I'm giving it to Hashem. That the Baal HaTanya says is mashkes you because you're really doing averas, etc. So that's very different. That teaching with the Baal HaTanya was mavato. That's bedafka when you're using your taivas for Eilam Hazeh and you're trying to make them ruchni by saying, Baruch Hashem, like you say, the example would be, a person sees a beautiful woman, whatever, and he says, Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you created such beauty in the world, and you continue, and you continue, no, that's right, and you continue to be misbainain in the istaklus, trying to connect it to Avodas Hashem. There was such a shita in early Hasidus. Again, they're tailored on the Baal Shem Tov, but it's not the Baal Shem Tov. I mean, you know, this was a distortion
of
the Baal Shem Tov. Huh?
How was it supposed to be?
No, yeah, you know.
It was not ever a teaching.
It's not a good thing. It's not a good.
It's not a far stretch from what you're supposed to do in the sense that it's in a mutter context, right?
If it's mutter,
right,
yeah.
Right. Between a husband and wife, you're supposed to recognize that the things you're doing are about a sekodesh.
Yeah, yeah, but to stop and take taivas, you know, taivas for forbidden things. And then say, I'm using it as a vehicle. That's a getter of Avera Lishma. I mean, that gets us into the whole Inyan, which the Baal HaTanya was against, the Nefesh HaChaim was against. The Stamazai sin, and then say, I'm going to elevate the sin. that's very different. The Gra is talking about faker. The Gra is not, first of all, the Gra is talking about husband and wife or with friends, and the Gra is talking about an ava that is not focused on physicality. It's an ava that's focused on midos, on chachma, and panemius, and the like. And the Gra says that is all ava sashem, that the emes of Hashem. Yeah.
But isn't there a truth to the concept that a person is hit with a taiva? I mean, not that he's running after it, but something hits him that he could kind of take that and turn it, even if it's Tevis Nashim, that he could turn that towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, I'm just away from that.
So this is where the Baal HaTanya says that the Baal HaTanya writes that that is theoretically possible, but Aravaida, we're not on that Madrega, and he says Aravaida is to be Boreach. That's what he said. Aravaida is to be Boreach, because if you remain Shakua in the Taiva, it's likely to just pull you down and drag you down. Now, I mentioned before, I've worked from the Maral, that when Yaakov met Yosef, remember, after 22 years of separation, so Yaakov read Kriyat Shema. So why did Yaakov read Kriyat Shema? I mean, Kalta Litvak, he didn't see his son for 22 years. But Zman Kriyat Shema, okay, maybe that's it. Zman Kriyat Shema, okay. Although it's Kaidah Matan Torah, you know, it's not a Chiyuv Mamish. So the Maral says, the Maral says, it's the derech of tzaddikim when they feel a tremendous love, they want to give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yaakov Bedavka felt so much love and so much joy, he wanted to take that and give it to Hashem. But that's a little different. These are subtle differences. It's hard to distinguish them. Because what that is doing is, that's not you. In other words, in the example that the Alter Rebbe is very critical of, that would be, I continue to think about the woman and use it as a way of being grateful to Hashem. Here, this is a getter of Mesiach Das. I think about the godless Abayre. And
that's the Baal HaTanya would be into.
Yeah, that would be true. Yeah, for sure. Remember, the Maral was the Baal HaTanya's great-grandfather. Great-great-grandfather.
He was afraid of focusing on the Taiva.
Right. The Baal HaTanya was afraid of continuing to focus on the Taiva and then try to elevate it. That he says you can't really do. It's kind of Tovel v'sheretz biyada. You're in the mikveh and you're still holding on to the sheretz. That is not shayach to be able to. Yeah.
So even on the sort of the positive version of this, which is Yaakov and Kriyat Shema wanting to turn, and I know that this is something that I think my understanding is good to wrestle with.
Yeah.
But in a similar example or whatever we could think of, something today, wouldn't that be a concern of children who feel emotionally neglected? Meaning if the parent wants to take the relationship and sort of not direct it to the person and direct it to a Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Well, you know, I think it depends. I mean, if things were to be constantly that way, I think there would be a problem. Now, it is recorded among some Gedalim that, and I've always had a mavucha about this, they said that this Gadol so-and-so, had such tremendous Avas Yisrael that you couldn't see the difference between the way he treated his children and the way he treated anybody else. Meaning, it was so high. Is that good? Is that good or bad? I'm torn by it, because the pshat is a child should feel a special relationship with his father. I mean, after all, if we talk about Hashem as our father. So you might say, what's the milah if Hashem is our father? If Hashem loves everybody the same, if a father is supposed to love the ones who aren't his children the same way, then there's no milah that he's my father. And I think you find that fakert, that an av is supposed to have a special love for his children, and it's not necessarily, I mean, again, as I say, it's recorded by some gedolim this way, but I think by a majority of gedolim, you see not that way, that they were mechabed everybody, they loved everybody, they were gomel chesed with everybody, but, you know, they made a special role for their children. And you see, the Torah has chiyuvim, I'm a chiyuv to teach my son. That's a beautiful story with Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha. Again, you don't hear too many stories about him here, but he was a chashuv person, a very, very... Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. He was Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik's son-in-law. He had a PhD from Harvard in English literature. He was the leading Rosh Yeshiva in the Dati Leumi world in Gush Etzion. But he was a chash of a person. He used to live in Katamon. He used to commute to the Gush. So Katzimon has the famous Shtiblach. Have you ever been to the famous Shtiblach in Katzimon? They have like minyanim one after the other. It's like Zichron Moshe, but no. So he used to learn with his son at night, night Seder in Katzimon. So somebody went over to him and said, Rosh Yeshiva, I'm very, very impressed that even though you have a big yeshiva, you make time to learn with your son. That's a beautiful thing. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said, what do you mean make time to learn with my son? The Torah says I'm mechuyev to learn with my son. I make time to have a yeshiva. my chiyuv is to learn with my son. And that's it's a very very beautiful thing. You know, to digress for a moment, many years ago, when I was teaching law, so my first job was in Champaign-Urbana. If you know Chicago, Chicago is a big city, Chicago is a big Jewish community. Champaign-Urbana is, 150 miles away, and the University of Illinois, but there was very, very tiny Jewish community. Now there's a Chabad house, even now it's small, but then there was not even a Chabad house. But there were two, and I used to, in fact, I was single then, and shortly after I got married, I had to leave, there was no mikveh there, and the like. But at the time, there were two frum professors, two Shomer Shabbos professors there. One was in classics, and one was in computer science. Now, just to show you the difference in funding, you know, classics, not too many people use classics. Classics was so underfunded, professors didn't have their own phones, you had to call the hallway, and whatever, like computer science, they're just swimming in money and all sorts of grants and everything else. So I used to stay over the houses. I would stay over a few nights and then go back to Chicago. So I remember that there was no chinuch there at all, but this guy in the classics, his kids went to public school, but every night he would learn with them 2 hours. And although I couldn't be miyayetz that would be a proper chinuch, you know they're going to public school and there's not from Yidden, etc., there's no minyan there. But I have to admit, there was something very, very beautiful to see mamish akiyam vishinantam levanecha of an av taking an achrayas to teach his children Torah. Because far too often, we consider the cheder or the yeshiva katana to be like shar shaliach, we just put it legamri on them. Rukhsham in Eretz Yisrael, it is a little better. Parents, I think, are a little bit more involved, but certainly in Chutz La'aretz, very often, parents are b'chlal not involved in the chinuch of their children. Like a father will not sit down so much and learn with a child. And the mamish was a beautiful thing. Vishnantim Levanacha just reminded me, this was like the good old days before Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. Yeshua ben Gamla was Masakin that we need Chadorim, but the original optimal chizdashita of chinuch was Taka Vishnantim Levanacha. And I have to say that Baruch Hashem, his kids grew up, they became from, one of them is a Rav. I mean, they turned out pretty well, notwithstanding the lack of a real religious community where they were. In fact, sometimes, again, it's like walking through a minefield. I can't give a person an answer to do this, but people in Kira will sometimes face this problem. You're going to go to an isolated community. And the truth of the matter is, although certainly things can go wrong, there's no question, and that's why it's not necessarily a safe thing to do. But the emes is that sometimes those types of environments can bring out kochos in a person that would not have come out had he been in Borough Park or Muncie or Lakewood or even Yerushalayim. That when you're like the only frum person there, you become a different type of person. You become a stronger person. You become a person who's more attached and more committed to things, because it's not just, I'm doing what everybody else does, right? You live in a frum society, so you're frum because that's normal. But when you live in a non-frum society and you're frum, you're making a decision that I want to live my life in accordance with Hashem's Torah. So yeah, avade, there's sakonas, and I'm not giving anybody an eitzah to put themselves in that situation. But l'maisa, it can come out a very, very good thing. In fact, now the Chassam Sofer says, l'gabe kiruv, the Chassam Sofer says there's a haftacha, that if you go to an isolated community, l'shem shamayim, to be makarev, the Chassam Sofer says there's a haftacha that your children will not be damaged by that.
The Rebbe gave the bracha to his shluchim on the same subject.
On that, yeah. Now, The problem with that is the Chasam Sefer, at least, was you have to be totally L'shem Shemayim, so you know, so you never really know. But nevertheless, there is such a thing. Okay, all right. But be this it may, this is the Alter Rebbe's typical symbolic idea that Beis Yaakov is Paida Avraham because Rachamim redeems the love that would otherwise be dormant. Okay, so we now come to Perek Lamed Gimel. And Perek Lamed Gimel goes back to the main theme here, because Perek Lamed Beis was a very important digression. But the overall theme we're dealing with is the idea of Simcha, because the Alter Rebbe recognizes, and again, this is why I always say over and over again, that although Tanya has a lot of Kabbalah in it, but Tanya is essentially a book of Chizuk, because Tanya was written for the Hasidim, who felt depressed and unhappy because they're still struggling in their Avodas Hashem, and they don't seem to be getting rid of that Yetzer Hara. And the Alter Rebbe's answer basically is, live with it, you're not going to get rid of it, and your job is to keep on fighting, etc. And the Alter Rebbe is concerned with the idea that without Simcha, you're not going to grow. Without Simcha, you'll have Yiyush, you'll give up hope. Without Simcha, you're going to feel, what's the point? Right, so the Alter Rebbe was talking quite a lot about the idea of maintaining Simcha. Side by side, again, the Alter Rebbe always talks about contradictory emotions. Side by side with Itim Mizumanim, where you give yourself Musar, and you denigrate the animal soul, and you call it Mushchus and Menuvel, and all those things, which you're really calling yourself that. But that's Itim Mizumanim. Those are certain times a day, and then you get back into the Simcha mode, which is the privilege of serving Hashem. So Perek Lamed Gimel, he once again goes back to the idea of preserving a happy attitude, a joyous attitude, an attitude of hope, an attitude of confidence that Hashem has given you the koach to do what you have to do. And here he mentions something which I think from our level it's not so easy to appreciate why this would make you so happy. But this is what he says. He says that, I'll start off, I'll read a few sentences. Zos tia simchas hanefesh amitis, and this will also help you achieve the true simcha of the soul. Ubiprat kishiraya benafshai beitim mizumanim, when you see on occasion, shitzarek lezakacha, you gotta purify your soul, ulahaira, and to give it light with simchas levav, with the joy of the heart. Azai Yamik machshavto, deepen your thought. Yitzayer besichlo, try to picture in your seichel and your bina, your understanding. Inyan yichudo yisparach ha'amiti. So he says, contemplating yichud Hashem. Now, here we have to understand the following. The first sefer of Tanya, which we're learning, that has 53 parakim, you'll recall, is called Sefer Shel Beinonim, the book of the intermediate person, the book of the mediocre person, so to speak, the Sefer Shel Beinonim. The second part of Tanya, which is much shorter, is Shar HaYichud V'Yamuna. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe himself said that logically, one should learn the Shar HaYichud V'Yamuna before he learns Sefer Shel Beinonim, because in some ways you have to understand the nature of God before you can understand the nature of the Beinoni's relationship, right? Because the Beinoni is about your relationship to God, but if you don't know what God is, so to speak. But nevertheless, the Rebbe said, since the Tanya is more practical, so Mamela the Minog became that people learn Sefer Shel Beinonim first, and indeed the Alter Rebbe seems to have published it that way, although there's some question what he intended to publish first. Now, the overall thesis of Shara Yichud V'Yamuna is based on the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. And by the way, Rav Chaim Volozhiner says the same thing in Nefesh HaChaim. So this is something in which there will be agreement, although not on some of the details. And that is, the notion of Yichud Hashem, Hashem Echad, the notion of Ein Od Milvado, Atah HaReisul Adaski, Hashem Hu Elokim, that God is the God, Ein Od Milvado, there is no other, there is nothing else beside him. So says the Baal HaTanya and the Nefesh HaChaim as well, it doesn't only mean there is no other God. It doesn't only mean there is only one God. It means there is nothing in existence except HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, we say in davening, some of us may not say it, but in the Korbanos, Atohu Mishenivraha, Atohu Ad Shalom Nivraha Olam. You are the God that existed before the world was created. V'yatahu mishenivra ha'olam. And you are the same God after the universe was created. So says the Bala Tanya, what that means is, God didn't change. Now, before there was anything, Hashem filled up every single thing. Hashem was, before there was this table, Hashem was where this table was. Now if we say Hashem is the same before creation and after creation, that means in a sense Hashem, now this is where you get into the debate of Tzimtzum, Kipshuta, whatever it is, but the Bala Tanya learns everything is Hashem. Again, as you know, that itself was the Prat in which there was a lot of controversy. Everything is Hashem. Because all of us are as if we don't really exist. We exist as manifestations of divinity. We exist as shadows that receive sparks of light. But in reality, it is only Hashem that's a true Metzias, and we are not, we are like Kolo Chashuv. We are as if we don't exist at all. So the Bala Tanya says, when you contemplate that God is everywhere, right, when you contemplate the true union of Yichud Hashem, then that itself gives you a tremendous sense of how close you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what am I going to say? Because you are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? We can't really say that.
This was the Gros Taina.
But the Bala Tanya is basically saying, if you're Makir, that there is no Metzias but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then however that works exactly, and again, I'm not a Mekubal, and I can't tell you exactly how the Bala Tanya understands this and how he defends himself from pantheism and everything else. But he says, but if everything is God, then the kirva you have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unbelievable. And that should give you a tremendous simcha. And then he gives a homey mashal, because, and this is a more accessible mashal, and that is, how happy you would be if a Melech Basar V'dam would choose to honor you by coming to your home. So now you have the Melech Malchei Amlochim, who has a dira, who wants a dira. He's nisaveh to have a dira v'tachtayim, a dira in this lowly world. And every Jew has the koach to be makasher, and that's why he says every day after we say, actually it's not after we say, but before we say Atu, we say Ashreinu Ma Tov Chelkeinu. What are we think? Happy is our lot, is because we have this kirvas elokim, and that's connected to the next paragraph. Atahu misha ad shalom nivra haolam. Atahu misha nivra haolam. So he says, if a person is makir, the strength of a kirvas elokim, which is connected to the idea of Yichud Hashem, of Ein Od Milvado. Ein Od Milvado doesn't only mean there's no other God besides God, but there's no other Metzius. Then we become so mechuber to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every way that there would be a tremendous, tremendous joy, and that also empowers a person, because a person now realizes that will take away all of the things that stop him from doing mitzvahs. Now, here he brings the Gemara in Makkos. I mentioned it last week in a drasha, but I'll repeat a little bit of it because it's connected to the Tanya. Remember the Gemara in Makkos that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Taryag Mitzvahs. 611 we heard from Moshe, and 2, Anochi, Lo Yelecha, we heard Mipi HaGevura. That's Torah, Tziva Lanu Moshe, 611, Torah, Anochi lo yelecha mipi agvura. So what does the Gemara in Makkos then say? That the later generations, they couldn't live with 613, too many things. So they started reducing them. David got it down to 15, etc. Micha got it down to 3. Yeshayo got it down to 2, and then Habakkuk got it down to 1. You can't get lower than 1 here. Now, the Baal Tanya explains, this is Pashat Pshat, this is Pashat Pshat in the Gemara, that the Gemara Vadai does not mean that later people just got rid of mitzvahs. That's not shayach. You got to keep all the mitzvahs that you can keep. But it means they gave us principles by which we could reconstruct. So the Baal Tanya goes on the very last one, Habakkuk. Habakkuk says, Sadik b'emunaso yichya. The tzaddik lives with emunah. Meaning, Habakkuk basically said, we reconstruct the whole Torah through emunah. So here's the Baal HaTanya's take on emunah. Emunah doesn't just mean I believe there's a God. But emunah means I internalize the Yichud Hashem. Ein od milvado. How close Hashem is to me. That indeed I'm part of that, so to speak. I am like the rays of the sun that come from the sun. Meaning I don't have a separate metzias. That's how mekusher I am to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a person realizes how mekusher he is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's filled with love, he's filled with joy, he's filled with courage and strength. And therefore, Habakkuk is telling us, from that emunah in Yichud, he will feel invincible, like Superman, so to speak. He will do all of the mitzvahs. And the diuk is, Yichya. Yichya means, even if he's dead inside, this will be like a techiyas hamesim. It will revive his spirit. Now, by the way, it's an interesting machlekes. You know, we just had, was it last Monday night? Last Monday and Tuesday? Or was it Monday? I don't remember if it was Sunday or this was the yard site of the Noyam Elimelech. Big, big yard site. Noyam Elimelech. Really thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people come from Eretz Yisrael to Poland. I was once there. In Poland, on the yard site of the Noyam Elimelech, it looked like Mea Shearim and Geula. Now, the Noyam Elimelech was older than the Baal HaTanya, Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk, and they both were Talmidim of the Magid of Mezerich. They both were Talmidim of the Magid. And they had very different shitas. The Noyam Elimelech actually almost invented the concept of the Hasidic Rebbe as being the intermediary between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That by holding on to the Rebbe, by being makasher to the Rebbe, by following the Rebbe will bring you up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Strangely enough, in spite of the fact that you might think, isn't that Chabad, it's Bedavka, not the Shita of the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe was Cholek Legamri on Rebbe Elimelech in this Prat. And he basically said, my goal as Rebbe is not to take my Hasidim and bring them to Hashem, but to give them the tools where they will discover the connection to Hashem within themselves. And I have to say, that even though you might think Chabad didn't follow that, but in some ways they actually did, because if you think about the fact that the Rebbe has been gone for a number of years, so although they're still reading letters, they're still doing all this and that, but Lamaisa, there is some kayach coming from within them that allows them to do all this stuff, meaning there is a kayach that's going on here that's coming from them. Now, what the Noyam Elimelech actually said was the following. He had an al-tikri. It says, Sadik b'emunaso yichya. Listen to this. Al-tikri. He made his own al-tikri. Don't read it that Sadik will live with his emuna, but Sadik b'emunaso yichaya. Yichaya means he'll revive others. That Sadik with his emuna, Yechaya will give life to all of those people who are not really worthy. The Baal HaTanya, this is actual maisa, this is actual discussion. He said, we don't do our al-tikres here. We read the pasuk kipshute, that it's referring to what a tzaddik does. And in this connection, I have to add a little bit of shver. Here, the Alter Rebbe seems to say everybody's a tzaddik on that level. Although the whole Sefer Shel Beinonim is giving a different definition of tzaddik. But in Legabi, this pasuk, it says, this pasuk is shayach to everybody. And therefore, the Baal HaTanya's point basically is that the concept of tzaddik be'amunaso yichya is when I contemplate the yichud Hashem of Ein Od Milvadai. That gives me simcha, and that gives me cheshek, and that makes me realize a kirvas elokim that is so unbelievable that on some way I don't even exist. There is only God. And then all of the things that would stop me from doing mitzvahs become imaginary barriers that I can simply pursue. I can go beyond. And then he says, and you also have to realize, it's not only your simcha that makes you happy, but the simcha of the Ribbono Shel Olam when we bring him into the world. And therefore, your simcha gets doubled, and you know, ad ein keitz, when you realize the simcha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the nachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. So again, there are some deep things here, but this is the basic idea. On its basic level, it is a relatively simple machshava, and that is, again, Kabbalistically, it's very controversial. Kabbalistically, this is a minefield. If nothing exists but God, does that make me God? I mean, that certainly has many, many, many problems. But as a general idea in the Seder Aveda, it basically is the feeling of Kirvas Elokim and the idea of how proud, how much nachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets when we do his ratzon and we make a place for him in this world. And those are powerful motivations. So even if a person's Aveda doesn't seem to be so great, but whatever a person does, he brings nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chayvus HaLevavos writes, in Ruchnius, there is no such thing that is so small that it's not choshuv in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, that's true for Averis too. but any little thing you do, you know, you made a bracha. This was the Chazon Ish's problem, by the way. This is what I mentioned as an aside. I was talking to somebody earlier today. You know, why was the Chazon Ish against the Musar movement? What's there to be against Musar? What, the Chazon Ish was against good midos? The Chazon Ish was against Cheshbon HaNefesh? Of course not. So what did he have a problem with? So first of all, the Chazon Ish actually said, although he is against the Shitas HaMusar, he's against the Misnagdim of Musar much more, which means that some of the Misnagdim, Taka didn't have Midos Tavos, etc. You know, that was a bigger problem. But part of what the Chazon Ish's problem was really maybe connected to the Tanya a little bit, although not from the Tanya for sure. And that is that Musar, there's this constant going into yourself. In other words, you daven mincha. So after you daven mincha, you ask yourself, did I daven be kavana because I really had kavana, or did I daven with kavana because I wanted the guy next to me to see that I was davening Shmon Esri for 10 minutes? You know, you're constantly questioning your motives. You're constantly looking into yourself. Even when you do something good, you're constantly second guessing. And the Chazon Ish felt that, at least for a certain personality, that could lead a person to depression, that could lead a person to not seeing the good that he accomplished. So the Chazon Ish says it's much better to do your Aveda, do your mitzvahs. And you know, when you did them, if they weren't as good as they could have been, so next time you try to do better. But don't necessarily be hard on yourself. In fact, Rev Reisman from New York, Rev Reisman from Flatbush, once said that Rav Palm told him that he wasn't allowed to learn Mesila Shasharim. He wasn't allowed to learn the greatest of the Sifrei Musar, because for a certain personality, that can bring a person to Atzvas, which can be very destructive. So here, the Baal HaTanya is saying, although, be'itim ezumanim, you give yourself Musar, that's the idea of going back and forth, but he says, by and large, a person should be margish, the tremendous simcha HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, with the mitzvahs and the ma'asim tovim that you do. You make a bracha, you learn Torah, you daven mincha, you put on tefillin, you're giving this unbelievable simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the nachas, because you're giving him a home in this world. And a person should, and Baal HaTanya says, that should give a person a tremendous simcha. And then when you contemplate, Ein Od Milvadai, now what could be better? Everything is Hashem, everything is godliness. Right, so these are kind of the eitzos that the Baal HaTanya will talk about. Now in Perek Lamed Daled, I will leave it for next week. Again, he's mamshech on this idea, and he's basically going to develop an interesting concept. Maybe it's more of a Hasidish idea. This is not so already. I'm not sure if the Nefesh HaChaim would be maskim, in which he talks about a person who most of the day is Isaac in Parnassa. But he is koveya itim l'tayra b'yayim uvalayla v'shinantim l'venacharai v'agisabo yayimim v'layla. But the time that he's not learning, he wishes he could learn more. So the Baal HaTanya says, based on the idea that a Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzareif machshava tayva l'maisa, so all of the hours that you're not learning, you will get schar for learning if that's really what you would want to do. Now, if you're happy that you're not doing that, then that doesn't work. But if you really have an emes tikka machshava, now the emes is, some learn this mahalach in a famous Taisus, which is brought down lahalacha. Taisus has the kasha. We paskin by birchas atayra, that when I make birchas atayra in the morning, and even if I go to work and I'm not going to learn, let's say, till night, I don't have to make birchas atayra again. Unlike sleeping, where at least that's a machlekes rishayim. But if you simply were awake and you weren't learning, the halacha is you do not have to make a bracha again. So frek taisus akasha.